Welcome to the continuation of the board meeting. What I would like to do before we continue with the board agenda is I'd like to allow for Dan Kaiser to make an announcement. He's asked to make an announcement. So, Dan, I don't know if you have a mic there with you.
Okay, I just wanted to remind everybody in the program, and I don't have the times offhand, but we are going to be shooting videos of members who can, talk about what CCB means to them. And, I could go on for 2 hours, but that video, we want to put stuff on the website for promotion of the Mutt Strut. We want to get members talking about what CCB means to them. So look in your program. We're going to be in a centrally located area, in an alcove or something right off one of the main, the general session. Just look in your program. You'll see it there, and we'll be there tomorrow. Melissa Hudson's husband and myself will be doing the video. I will not be the photographer. I will be the interviewer. So I'm sorry. But we know that blind photography is good. But so anyway, there you go. So look in your program. Thank you.
CCB has been very, very good to me.
What's that?
Donna, we don't know the location
right.
yet.
It's in the program.
It is in the program. Okay.
Yeah. We will announce the location tomorrow. I don't have that in front of me at this point, so we will definitely do that. The other thing that I wanted to let folks know in by way of an announcement is that folks have till tomorrow at 5 p.m. to buy tickets for Saturday meals. So the banquet, any of the luncheons, things like that. If you haven't purchased tickets and you're saying, oh yeah, I forgot to get a ticket for the OCB luncheon, buy your tickets. You have until 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, to buy your tickets. And you would do that, at the registration, of course. So that's the announcement I have. Does anyone else have any type of announcements before we get going? Board members, anyone from the audience? How do you like our volunteers so far? Aren't they awesome?
Great.
They are awesome. And also Ed and Lily and our audio crew, aren't they all awesome too?
Awesome.
Yes. Absolutely. As Ed just ran by me. He has comfy shoes. All righty. I want to let you know that, I do apologize, Foster arrived at our board meeting after we did roll call. So he did come in before we ended. Actually, Foster, I think you came in at the item of you were in pretty...
Balance sheet.
The balance sheet. So we hadn't finished our treasurer's report, and Foster was here. So, Mr. Secretary, if you can put him back on. Peter, did you have an announcement?
Yeah, I just want to remind people, if they haven't had a chance, they can still buy CCB raffle tickets. They'll be available, or if they want to sell them. See Lily here in the room, or...
Find me!
Or go to the...
I have some, too.
If you want to pay with a credit card, go to the registration desk, and they'll take care of you there.
Okay. And if you have a five that's burning a hole in your pocket and you hear me running around, let me know, and I have some too. So remember, first prize is $1,000. Second prize is the balloon ride for two. And third prize is the Knott's Berry Farm and hotel stay.
And don't we have a fourth prize?
And the fourth prize is the Kirok coffee maker. That is our fourth prize. Are there any other announcements? All righty then. Hearing none.
Did you ascertain that the balloon ride is accessible?
I asked Abby that question, and I have not heard an answer at this point. Abby was going to check on that for us.
If I win, and
don't Gene can answer that. Hold on.
I don't know about the specific ones, but
I have taken hot air balloon rides, and they are not wheelchair accessible, can't be. The biscuits are very high. You have to be on a little block or something, a bench to step up and into it. It's about at least over 4 foot high, the side of the basket, so you don't fall out. And so can't be accessible, but it's an incredible experience when you go up and you're way up, hundreds of feet up, and then when the burner is not on, the absolute silence up there in the air, and then you could hear down below, like my wife and I did it, we could hear a farm dog down way below barking at us. We were flying over, and then a train going by. It's quite an experience, so you got to try it sometime.
If I win it and they don't take me, I'll cry.
Roger said if he wins it and they don't take him, he'll cry.
I
want
to see him cry.
Oh.
Yeah. Awesome. You're awesome.
It sounds wonderful.
It's the landing.
So remember, if I have tickets, and remember Peter's announcement as well, come and see us. You still have time. All righty then. So do we have a we don't need a motion to restart, don't we? We just restart. All righty. Jerry?
Just a reminder for folks, with these hot air balloon, given the nature of what they are, they're not all that close to any urban centers. So you're going to have to arrange for transportation. Typically, they're like 80, 90, 100, 150 miles away. Like we have in Southern California, the Paris balloon rides are very famous. Paris is near Riverside, so it ain't that easy to get to, but it's a great experience.
I was actually told by somebody that she and her husband went on a balloon ride, because I was thinking of doing that myself for Mitch and I, and the only thing I said is it's going to be just both of us, and do you think this is something we're going to be able to do? And she shared, that she and her husband went and nobody drove, and they got there. So it varies depending on where it is. I mean, they didn't drive. I'm sorry. They didn't drive, so they were able to get there. But you do need to make the arrangements, as Jerry said, obviously.
Access services.
Oh, Jerry said Access Services. That's our paratransit company.
Yay.
And speaking of Access Services, I need to let you know that Lena will not be returning to the board meeting. She wanted me to share her regrets with everyone. Speaking of Access Services, when she was getting into the vehicle, she had a bag with her laptop and phone charger and all kinds of other nice, expensive gadgets that she needs. And the driver said that they would put it in the trunk for her because the vehicle was filled to capacity. And when she got to her destination, guess what didn't get there with her? So her phone is going to die any moment, and she sends her apologies, but obviously she's not going to be able to attend the second half of the board meeting. Okay. The next item on our agenda is California Council of the Blind Mutt Strut Report. Yay! Ken Metz is the committee chair, and we have divided the group up into two regions, and Jeff Tom, who's that? He has agreed to be the Northern California chair, and Melissa Hudson and Ken Metz are also chairing the Southern California group, and Sacramento and LA are already strutting away. So with that, I will give the microphone over to Jeff Tom and Melissa Hudson, so that you can hear the report of the California Council first annual Mutt Strut fundraiser. Jeff.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to read Ken's report, and then we'll just make any comments that or questions that need to be addressed. I just want to say, you know, I know some of you don't know Melissa, but you're going to have a chance to meet her this weekend. She is just incredible. It's been really an honor for me to work with her. I've learned so much. And so you're all going to get a chance to meet her this weekend, and I know you'll be as impressed as I have been. So this is Ken's report, dated May 12, 2011. Ken being the overall mutt strut chair. President Donna, officers, and following is my up-to-date report on CCB's first annual mutt strut. We began talking about what is now known as our mutt strut back in November 2010. At the time, I was asked to be the CCB statewide chair for this new undertaking for a large California statewide fundraiser for CCB. The idea sounded as though it had possibilities, and the more we met, the more we realized that it could and would happen as the steering committee became more and more motivated. We finally asked the board for its approval, which was given, I believe, in December 2010, and we then formed both a Northern and a Southern California subcommittee. The chair of the NorCal committee is our immediate past president, Jeff Tom, and Melissa Hudson and I are chairing the SoCal committee. Once we formed our statewide networking groups, we've come up with various thoughts and ideas which have now been made into reality for our first annual CCB Mutt Strut to be held on Saturday, September 10th, 2011. There will be two locations for the first Mutt Strut, one in Los Angeles, the other in Sacramento, simultaneously. We have developed a number of materials which are currently being put into place. Melissa has some friends who have graciously assisted us in developing a Mutt Strut marketing plan, a Mutt Strut logo, a Mutt Strut brochure, a Mutt Strut sponsorship letter, and much more. I do want to thank and compliment Melissa for coming up with some very strong committee members from outside CCB who have been and continue to be extremely incredible. I also wish to thank all of our CCB committee members who shall be named after our Mutt Strut at the fall, who shall be named after our Mutt Strut at the fall 2011 CCB convention. Let me also say here that none of the initial and ongoing elements of putting this fundraiser together could have taken place without our great staff member, Lily McRae, who was extremely busy getting information for us via computer and phone calls, along with a lot of her writing talent. This Saturday and Sunday at our convention, Melissa's husband, David, will be taking videos of many of our CCB attendees slash members in order to also have numerous vignettes, which will be added to our Mutt Strut press pay package. We are hopeful that many of you, board and membership, will participate openly in answering a few questions for this video to educate the press and perhaps other public on the importance of our organization and how we're an important entity in California in constantly improving equality and opportunities for people who are blind and visually. The registration for the Mutt Strut will be $25 per adult, which includes a T-shirt and a dog bandana. Children 15 and under will pay $20 for the same. It must be stated that this is not a guide dog Mutt Strut, but open to the public and their pet dogs, as long as those dogs are under control and friendly. We are looking for sponsors to give anywhere from $5,000 and down, with a hopeful major sponsor giving $10,000 to underwrite this fundraiser. While there is much more that I can say, I believe this is enough of a report for now. However, we need all of our members to help us obtain donors slash sponsors and participants. If you can't do that, sponsoring one of the runner-walker teams will also be of utmost help in raising a big sum of badly needed funds for CCB. We have secured spaces on the First Giving website, which will be linked to the CCB website for those who wish to sign up electronically or for additional Mutt Strut information. By the way, one important point is that this Mutt Strut will feature a couple of interesting challenges. People can either walk or run, either a 2K or 5K distance. Not only is this event for CCB members, but our goal is to register 500 runners slash walkers in each of Sacramento and LA. This is probably the largest fundraising activity ever in the history of CCB, and it takes our entire village to make it happen. To date, we've spent the following monies: printing brochures, $480.63. Northern California venue, $15. Southern California venue, $500. Total expenses to date, less staff time. I guess that really means not including staff time, $963.63. We expect our total expenses to be close to $17,000 with a net income of close to $51,000. Obviously, these are both projections, and both can change proportionately. But this is our first attempt at something like this, and we are now on track towards bringing in a good income for CCB. We plan on moving forward with a media blitz in June, recruiting sponsors for teams through the end of August, getting information out on Facebook or other electronic opportunities, running email blitzes, personal phone calls, and a mailing campaign to personal contacts. This is the beginning. Our volunteer coordinators are already working toward meeting the need for persons to cover and assist in numerous areas in L.A. and Sacramento, such as running water stations, assisting persons in need of walking either the 2K or 5K routes, registration tables, etc. Please talk to President Donna, Jeff Tom, Melissa Hudson, or other committee members in attendance this weekend if you have additional questions, and be sure to pick up a brochure at the CCB registration table. So, yes, as a fairly comprehensive report, I would just, you know, there's not too much I will add to that. You'll hear more about it tomorrow when we, you know, talk to the membership as well. But we are really getting a lot of the, I guess you might call it, the infrastructure prepared, the documentation. When we do it next year, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier because it's really taken us a while to get some of the things in place, which next year we'll just be able to tweak. And so we'll get a much earlier start, I think, on getting the media blitzes out there, getting sponsorships to, you know, give us the food and the water and the gift certificates. We're going to have wag bags people are going to be able to get. You know, we're going to call them wag bags, and they'll have things in them. You know, it just has, you know, a lot of potential upsides, money, PR. You know, we've got to work on our grand marshals for both venues. You know, the only thing I would say for Northern California, I'll make one comment. We really could use up here a lot more people to make phone calls for us, you know, to track down sponsors. Even if you don't live in Sacramento, we really can use you. Please get a hold of me if you want to help us in the next couple of months, because we really need, you know, some of this is labor intensive. We're going to be using, we've got a marketing plan that we're developing. We're going to be using a lot of internet marketing styles that I'm not all that familiar with, but I'm learning about, because some of our Southern California folks that Melissa helped to recruit are just really, really impressive. And I think with that, I'll see if Melissa has anything to say, and then we can add questions. Melissa, do you have any additional comments you want to make?
Hey, everyone. Yeah, the Mud Strut, super exciting. We really need, and we'll talk more about it, everybody's support. It definitely, like we said, if you can't be there personally, then tell your friends, your family, support someone else, get people to come out. Again, we're going to do the videos this weekend, and we'll have questions, so you don't have to feel like we're just going to put you on the spot and say, how has CCB enhanced your life, and you're it's better because, and, you know, kind of ease you into it. And again, and feel free, and we'll talk about this, to, you know, just keep talking. We'll edit it and snip it down, so you don't have to worry about, I have to get it in 1 minute because this is just one take. And so we really, really need your guys' support, because at this point, we're really looking to, again, raise funds and also raise awareness. We want this stuff up, YouTube channels, you know, we want it just out there. And how is CCB? We need to get those stereotypes out. You know, we're going to ask you questions about, you know, what sort of stereotypes, you know, are there still out there? Because we want this also to be what we call an evergreen project. So it's something that CCB will be able to use for the Mud Strut, but also you guys can use it as, you know, we can use it as marketing in the future as well to keep, you know, promoting. So these are things that we're going to put in place to not only use this year and next year, and we can, you know, further grow it. Again, 2K, 5K, two great venues, Sacramento, Los Angeles. They're going to be, you know, easily accessible, public transportation. It's going to be easy to get there. Access, you know, will be easy to get there. We need volunteers before, set up, after. So, again, it takes everyone, but we really need to think high, reach for the stars. We can't sell ourselves short. We're going to make money. We're getting our PR out there because, unfortunately, right now, CCB, the only people who know about it, or mostly, are us. And we need, you know, the rest of the general public. So we've got brochures out. You guys pound the streets, talk about the mud strut. You know, we're looking to, again, people who just want to get a 2K, 5K under their belt because maybe they're practicing for a half marathon or a full marathon. And when they get their little bag, they'll go home and get information about CCB, you know, and they go, oh, this is a great cause that, you know, we're going to support. We've got a website up. We're going to get, you know, Facebook. We're, you know, out there doing everything. And again, you know, the website will be accessible. You know, it's going to be up there. It should be up and running by this weekend. And that, you know, we'll be able to get, you know, people registered and we're working on a list on First Giving if you have screen readers, you know, how to get through all that. And we're definitely thinking, you know, within CCB and also reaching out. So any questions? Are you guys pumped?
Yeah.
All right.
Peter has a question. I heard a. There he goes, getting the
mic. We have some promotional materials that are available here at the convention?
Correct. We have some brochures that you guys can, you know, hand out. And it's got the link currently that we're, you know, ccbnet.org/mudstrut. By this weekend, that will be up and running, and we're going to have a, you know, a main page and a SoCal, you know, LA page and a Sacramento page. You know, and from there, you can just stir and link, and it's got, you know, all this stuff. Of, you know, we're going to put constantly updating it on latest news. Hey, register now. We've got so many registrants, and, you know, keep pumping all that information out.
And we're going to make it as easy as we can for those who, you know, aren't the most tech savvy in the world, which is me, to register. And I can tell you, I was able to go through the registration links, and if I can do it, there's an awful lot of people in here that can do it.
But you
Dan,
can also call
if you can't.
If you don't have a computer, we understand not everybody has internet access. You know, pour something else on Lily's plate, you know. You know, go ahead and call, and we'll register you that way again.
Right. If you're not able to register, you know, if you don't use a computer, if you're a phone person, just call the office and the office will get you signed up. So
yeah, the only thing you'll have to do is they'll have to either at the event or they can send you one. If you're doing it by phone or at the event, you'll have to sign a release because everybody has to. You either sign it online or you have to sign it, you know, at the day of the event, or they can send you one. Like you could call up pretty soon. And, you know, let's say you get Lily, and Lily can send you back a release, and then you'd send it back into the office. Otherwise, you'd have to come to the event and register that day.
The logo is really cool, too. You know, think Charlie's Angels, if any of you had sight before, and sort of that sort of Charlie's Angels silhouette kind of thing, and it's, you know, somebody holding a horse with a guide dog on one end, the middle person, she's just standing tall with, you know, another dog, and then you've got like a runner on the, you know, other side. So very sort of, you know, silhouette. It's strutting. It's fun, family friendly. So come on out and let's raise money and have a good time.
All righty. Any other questions? And I realize that folks in the audience have questions, but we're not taking public comment at this point. You'll get a chance to ask questions tomorrow, or if you stay till the end, you'll be able to give your public comment at that point. So,
Madam President.
Jerry.
Just a couple of real quick comments. You know, often I've thought, boy, these guide dog schools raise a ton of money, primarily because they have the absolute lethal combination. Puppies, guide dogs, blind folks. The point is that from a fundraising standpoint, I can see lucrative possibilities for CCB because not only do we have the combination, not only of folks who are using guide dogs, who are handling guide dogs, and I'd love to encourage everyone, my fellow guide dog users, to see if they'd like to participate in Northern or Southern California. I intend to do it. Even more so, we have other people who have dogs who are joining this effort. And so it'll be a real universal kind of activity. And the final comment I wanted to make is I doubt that anybody in this room thinks that stereotypes, negative stereotypes about blind folks have disappeared. Well, this is your chance to start distributing materials. Not only are the materials really cogent and really forceful about CCB and what we do, but it puts the event, the brochure really puts a positive spin on the kinds of things that blind folks are capable of doing, and people will be able to see in the flesh as we actually traverse the course what we're doing. So, you know, from a fundraising and a political statement, I think it's an absolute win-win. So if you can't participate, please talk to sponsors, see if they'll be willing to fund this program, and let's have a good time.
Madam President?
Is that Dan?
Yeah. I was involved in MudStrut early on, and unfortunately I had to back out of the weekly meetings because I'm involved in an international project, which unfortunately is taking more time because I'm one of the promotional organizers of that. However, I've just been really impressed with the staff time, with Lily's research. I mean, she went in and discovered, you know, it gave both committees in Northern and Southern California the knowledge about how so many people are participating in these events all the time, how so many runners are hooked into a, you know, monthly course of going on these. They're like addicted to these runs. And so there's all these groups that every, you know, whenever there's a new run, they don't care necessarily what the cause is. They just go on them. And she was able to give us that understanding of that. And I think it really helped the committee. And just, it's just one of the best things I've been a member of CCB since 1990, and I've never seen this sort of push by both members and staff. It's going to be a great thing. So I'm going to go and I'm going to be a part of a team, and so I'm going to challenge my Sacramento friends and everybody to get out there and do it. So I challenge all you guys to get out and do it too, because Northern California is going to beat Southern California. Okay.
Woo! Oh, you really what a challenge. All right, my SoCal buds.
We'll see.
We're on. You're on.
We have more mutts than you. That's great. Any other questions or comments from the board? I'm hearing David Hanlon.
Okay. Oh, yeah, fine. Jeff or Melissa, where is the run going to be at in Sacramento and L.A.?
Sacramento. Jeff in Sacramento. Where's that?
Sacramento
one?
Is Southside Park, which is like 6th and U, basically. It's down. It's near downtown.
And Melissa.
And the Los Angeles one is at the Los Angeles State Historic Park, which is on Spring Street near downtown. It's right off the Gold Line Chinatown station, so you could definitely take public transit, and you have the view of downtown, and it's, you know, a closed track. And
is that like near Burbank or downtown?
Downtown.
Downtown.
Downtown, downtown.
Oh, okay.
LA. Downtown LA.
Downtown LA.
LA. Not East LA. Downtown LA.
All righty. Anything else? I just wanted to say a quick, very special thank you to Ken Metz. Ken is not here at this convention. He wanted to be here. But he had some, medical issues that he's dealing with. He's getting all better though. And, he has just been, a great motivator for the group from the very beginning. He told me that, he'll always be teasing me, saying I strong-armed him into this and all kinds of good stuff. And, And Pam only knows what he's really been saying about me, but he has just been an awesome force, an awesome motivator, encouraging the Northern California and the Southern California group. And he and Melissa are planning on going out and pounding the pavement. And it's just, you know, Ken, you're not here, but Pam is here, and I want you to give him, you know, our special thank you for continuing and persisting. And, you know, even when he's not able to go anywhere because his feet are recovering, he is on the computer. He is making phone calls. He's doing all kinds of stuff. So Ken has just been an awesome, awesome chair. And he's been a motivator for Jeff, and he's been a motivator for Melissa. And I just want to give a special thanks to Ken Metz. So let's everybody give him a round of applause.
Yeah, he came in, picked us up, and he's really, whenever we need to, oh boy, what are we going to do about this? Ken is always there to give us a little stroke, and he's really been great.
And I also want to give a special thanks to Jeff and Melissa as well. You guys are awesome, and I can't wait. The only thing is, you know, Scotch is going to be 13. That's Mitch's guide dog, for those who don't know. And, you know, I wanted to take Scotch, but I don't think they'd let me take a little red wagon with a retired guide dog on the Gold Line train. Although, I don't know, the way the laws are going, they might. I don't know, but anyway. Any other questions about Mutt Strut? Awesome. We'll hear more about it tomorrow. And I thank you, and we'll go on to item number 10, which is the Publications Committee report by Bernice Kandarian. And we have a number of items under this report. The board has read all of these items. Of course, we have the Blind Californian, and we have other publications, Printing More Failing Sight. And I'd like to ask Ed if he could give a microphone over to Bernice to give a quick summary of this report.
Well, the Blind Californian is continuing to move forward. Is Judy in the room?
Yes.
Judy has been working really hard on and trying to meet all of our parameters for the Blind Californian, and has been doing a good job of putting. That's right. That's right. We could use plenty of articles. That when we did the awards, that we certainly were shy this year. So we do want to encourage people to continue writing and submitting to Judy. Under the email version of the Blind California, I wanted to point out that we now have 249 people receiving the email version. That's up, I think, at least 50 from over 50 from the last time I gave a report. The other publications of the Seniors with Vision Loss Committee has written another brochure that's needing funding so that we can get that one out. The one that is out is Failing Sight and the Family Plight. That has been extremely popular. It's a very good tool for the organization. And we have published 500 in Chinese. We've done 1,000 in Spanish. We've already done 4,000 in English, and we are out, and we need some more in the English version. What was the next category? Oh, the website. We have a great a technical operations group that is working very hard on the website. These are people who are extremely knowledgeable. They have day jobs, and they also have had a number of personal and family issues, and they persevere. And, for instance, putting up the connection, the California connection each week. You know, it's, you barely get it up and then there it comes again. It's, they're very dedicated to getting these things done. And we worked very hard this go around to try to get the, convention announcement and pre-registration materials up on the web and the program up on the web in time for you to be able to download those things.
Very helpful.
Thank you. How many people are looking on the web for those documents?
I am.
Yeah, okay, good. So we were trying to get, we're working toward trying to get an indicator up there so we know what our usage is, but we're not quite there yet. After website, what was the next one? Oh, we have 147 people receiving the California Connection via email. You know, if you are not receiving it and would like to, please let the office know so that they can pass that on to the webmasters and they can get that going for you. And then we also, the CCB list has 82 people. I thought there'd be a lot more of you out there chattering on that, but Facebook
and Twitter.
Is Tom Randall in the room?
Not down here at the moment.
Is that Mary Beth?
Yeah.
I can call him. No, okay. Well, that's okay. We'll move on. But Tom has been on our Facebook page, and the word is he now has it operative and is loading in the data, and you can start checking, I guess, I guess we'll send out a formal invite to ask people to join the Facebook page. Donna?
I'm sorry. Jean and I were conferring over here.
I'll bring my duct tape next time.
No, that's okay.
But I wanted to know, are we going to send out a formal invite for people to join our Facebook page?
I will put... once it is ready, with all the content and everything, obviously people could find the official page already because it is up. But once all the content and everything is loaded in there, then I'll go ahead and send out emails on the listservs and put it in the connection and such. Mm-hmm. And I'll invite all my friends and everybody else's friends can invite their friends, and their friends can invite their friends, and then we'll be a friendly bunch. So yes, we're just waiting for Tom to, complete the downloading of the content for the official page.
And that will be connected to our Twitter account. I'm sorry, I can't
right.
Speak
yeah,
with
they
this
can be
too.
Linked. They
yeah.
can be linked.
Yeah. And so then the next item is that we had made a recommendation that that there be a candidates forum and that a committee be appointed consisting of members from the convention committee and the publications committee to figure out how to accomplish that, and no action has been taken on that. And then the other item that we wanted to address is the there was a resolution about some kind of a document to thank people when they've done something for the council, and we have a draft, and we wanted board approval on that so that we could get that implemented. Thank you.
Okay. Also, just to let the board know before we deal with the items, we also had a number of members receiving the BC Indiscat, and Ed informed me that was becoming a bit difficult. We did have a board member who had said that they would do a donation, but in the spirit of being proactive, Bernice offered to contact the members who were receiving the BC Indiscat format and spoke to each of them individually to see, share with them what our formats are and see if they would be willing to switch over to one of those formats. And we were able to, thanks to Bernice, get members to be able to switch to one of the other formats that we offered. So we are now, we have now discontinued the diskette format of the BC. So that is no longer, and Gabe is clapping over here beside me. So, and I'm just hearing somebody say, oh, I still have about 40 of those, but we have discontinued that as well. So, it looks as if the publications committee has put several action items on the table. And the first one, is board members, you have in your report the price quote for the printing of
500 or 1,000.
And I know that we do have members who are waiting for them. We don't have any more to give. So and Roger is saying that the Vista Center orders them all the time as well.
I have a question.
Okay, David has a question. Hanlon.
Bernice,
yes.
With the 249 email, have you noticed a significant decrease in printing cost and mailouts?
No.
Really?
No, because there are a lot of people who are members who are not receiving.
Oh.
So our total count is still way below our total membership.
Okay. So I'd like board members to look at that quote that they have in their board packet.
Roger, remind me of the figures.
Bernice just said, Roger, remind me of the figures, and he said, who, me?
Madam President.
Roger knows everything.
Donna?
Yes, Peter. You have it.
Judgment through the figures real quick.
Yes, Peter, please.
To print 500,
835.
It would be $623.40. To print 1,000 of the brochures, it would be $835.84.
Madam President, thank you.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the bid for 1,000 copies.
Seconded.
Motion made by Artis, second by Dan. Any discussion?
Yes, I have a question.
Jeff.
Madam President. Bernice, you say that there is another publication which is ready for funding. What, if we have a new publication that we're thinking of sending out, is this an entirely different purpose behind it? Because
yes.
Okay,
yes.
I just want to make sure.
Yes.
And can you tell us what that is, at least the purpose of the other one, so that we know why we're differentiating here and still doing...
Somebody's going to have to help me on that. It's been a long time since I've looked at it, and I'm not remembering, but they are very different focuses.
I think it has to do with what CCB can do for old folks.
Yeah, I've read it too. I think a long
Madam
time ago, but yeah. I don't
President.
Really remember anymore.
Yeah, it's more.
Madam President.
Okay, Bernice. Jean actually just called for the floor, and then who was the lady?
Linda.
Okay, Jean first, and then we'll have Linda.
As a board member, I'd like to see the actual document that we're talking about, the brochure.
Failing sight in the family plight.
The new one.
Oh, we cannot distribute that until it goes to press because...
Well, I'm a board member. Why shouldn't I, before it's going to... I'm responsible as a board member, as an organization, to know ultimately what the document is. I'd like to see it. We've done that before.
Okay. Okay, we're not yet having the dollar amount of the print, for the printing of the new document. But that's definitely a good point. Yes, Jeff got us off topic and
No, it wasn't.
Let me answer it this way. When it gets closer to the time that we would get bids from the printer to know what it would cost, and we can deal with those issues at that time.
And family plight in the failing site is a document that we've already been distributing for a number of years now. So that one is something. However, the new document, I think it's totally under the purview of the board of directors if they wish to see that document. I would believe that would be reasonable. Board members just need to be mindful not to share it, not to distribute it, and it is a document in draft form. But it pleases me that board members want to be responsible and look it over.
Madam President.
But it's in draft at this point. Linda, I'll get you just a second. There are pieces that are still being put together, and so, Jean, would it meet your approval if you would be able to see the document before we start going out for print bids and such, and you'd like to read the completed text is all you're saying? And that's not unreasonable. Bernice, you are saying that you will share that once it's completed with directors only.
Yes.
Okay.
Bonnie is having some family issues, so I told her when I spoke with her 2 days ago that we would hold it on the back burner until she's back in action.
Okay. Okay. Linda.
Madam President and Madam Committee Chair, as a member of the Seniors with Vision Loss Committee, I can shed a little bit more light about what the new document is about. It is about...
One moment. The new document, and Linda, I do want to give you the floor after we have voted on the specific motion. And I will allow discussion about the new one because you are a member and folks need to hear your perspective. So do we have any more discussion specifically? What?
Madam President, it goes to my question. If we have this new document and she's trying to talk about what it is, do we want to do more of the old one? And I think we do.
Yes,
but,
we do.
Well, that's why I wanted to hear Linda because...
Okay. Then we'll keep derailing, and Linda, go ahead. It's all yours.
No, actually, I think that what I have to say will answer
Jeff's
our
question.
Esteemed erstwhile president's question.
Well, you know what? We're friendly, so have at it.
All right. All right, this is what I recall. First of all, I want to say that Bonnie probably wrote this practically single-handedly with some advice and support from her other cohorts on the publications committee. So when we see this, you know, we will have to give kudos to Bonnie because she put a lot of work into this. But my understanding of what this one is about it picks the story of one particular composite individual who is losing her sight and brings her through the experience of finding out about it, adjusting to it, making changes in her life accordingly, and then in the end, there's a resource section. Would you say that's a fairly accurate portrayal, Bernice?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's what I have to offer, and I think that in that case, it is quite different from failing sight and the family plight, because it comes at it from a completely different angle.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Jeff?
Absolutely.
Okay. Any more discussion on the motion at hand? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Great.
Thank
motion
you.
Carries. All right. Our next action item
is what
the Publications Committee has proposed is wanting to do some sort of a candidates forum. Is there any discussion from the board or does anyone? Okay. Is that Jean?
Yep.
Jean.
Bernice, where do you propose to put it into our conference and convention program? We pretty much have everything filled.
Well, Gene, as it says in the document that you have there, one suggestion that we made was that perhaps it could be in lieu of the president's dinner, but that was a suggestion, and what needs to happen, what we were requesting is that a committee comprised of members, some members of the convention committee and the publications committee, be appointed to come up with some concrete ideas. So I think at this point, what we're asking is for the committee to be appointed.
Do we have any other discussion or questions on this item?
Madam
Linda,
President,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, so would we have then the slate of the nominating committee plus anybody else who wishes to run for a certain office? You know, wouldn't it mean that the nomination process, whatever, would have to occur earlier so that... I'm just thinking of a timeline for this in terms of people, okay, quote unquote, running from the floor.
Linda, what would happen is that the nominating committee would take place in the spring, as we're going to do tomorrow evening, and that the candidates forum would take place in the fall, before the election.
No, so you'd only have the nominating committee candidates running, able to participate in the forum.
No. Okay. Anybody who wanted to run for the floor would be welcome to do that. And, you know, one of the things that this organization has gotten away from that we used to do and I thought worked rather well is that after the nominating slate came out, those who wished to run for the floor, as well as those from the nominating slate, would send out materials to all the chapters about why they wanted to run and what their qualifications were. And that hasn't happened very much for a long time. We got when Donna was running last fall, we did receive a tape from her, but, you know, nobody else put forth any effort.
Except that some of us didn't get her tape in time, but it was extremely worthy effort. I think this is, generally speaking, a great idea, and I'm not at adversarial to it at all. I just wanted to be clear as to, you know, we don't have the process anymore during the election that somebody can jump up and be nominated. It means that people have to be more deliberate about their plan, mm-hmm, and be ready to come up and present themselves at an earlier time.
Madam President?
Okay, Jean first and then
Vince. Well, Linda, I feel that right now people who want to run from the floor know in advance. And often, I hear even to the grapevine, are interested in running and usually are prepared that evening to run from the floor and have speakers to stand up for them. So I don't think that our process right now precludes anyone from running from the floor and having enough time to do so.
Okay, Vince.
Yeah, I just wanted to say it's not going to stop people from being nominated from the floor, as Gene said, and the people choose to send out information. There was nothing that stopped them from doing it. We got away from it, and it's so. But it was not mandatory, and it didn't stop you from running. It didn't send out any information. It just stopped people from learning more about you.
That's the whole purpose, is for us to know more about the candidates.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Roger.
It seems to me that what we're doing here is the committee's work that the publications committee is proposing. And I would like to move that the president be authorized to form such a committee from among members of the publications committee and the convention committee and anyone else that she sees fit to look into the possibility of some kind of a candidates forum and some kind of a process for educating the members about who's running for offices.
Roger has put a motion on the floor. And Peter has seconded. Do we have any more discussion? Artis.
I just wanted to make the comment that I'd like that committee, while it's talking about possibilities of doing it, whatever, that they also maybe make a little survey among some of the chapters and so forth to find out if, you know, they feel that it's something we want to add to the convention due to the fact that, you know, we have so many things already in the convention. Or substituting for what should it substitute?
So we're also going to have membership committee as a part of this committee.
Thanks.
Just letting you know. The committee is being formed, and the resolution hasn't even gone through. But see, I, in the interest of being proactive, ooh, how many times have I said that? I'm already thinking. Okay. Do we have any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Motion carries. Oh, did we have an abstention?
Abstain.
Was that Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
You were so loud and vocal earlier. What happened? That was a weak abstain. Okay, we have another abstention. Who is that? Jean? Jeff and Jean abstain. All right. Motion carries. So I will start thinking about that committee, and I have thoughts already. So, great. The next item, action item from the Publications Committee report is basically, let's see what we have here. Board members have read that in their report, and if you wish, we can, let's see, I have this report in front of me.
Maybe it'd be best if somebody just read the...
That's what I'm grabbing, is the... Fall 2010 CCB Resolution 2008A6. Okay, appended below is well on its way to being implemented. The document which it mandates is in draft form. Also, appended below, awaiting board approval. And Gabe sent an email on Monday, September 20th, 2010.
That was the resolution.
That's the actual resolution.
And it's the actual resolution. BDM. Chris moved that... Oh, wait. Is this it?
That's not the one. It's later.
I can read it if you want me to.
Jeff has it. Okay, you found
Resolved
it.
Resolved by the California Council of the Blind Convention Assembly, April 2008, blah, blah, blah. This is all the form stuff. That a certificate of appreciation be drawn up by the Publications Committee, and be it further resolved that the Board of Directors will acknowledge gratitude by sending a certificate to a worthy person, corporation, or institution at least on a periodic basis. And be it further resolved that the Publications Committee will produce a sample letter to be used in the same manner at the local chapter level, and the chapters be invited to acknowledge extraordinary acts of others. And then later, maybe you want to read this, is the draft certificate based on the resolution that the public, this is the one you've come up with, right, Bernice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any discussion on this?
Yes.
Okay, Gene.
I see the resolution has gives direction to the Publications Committee. I acknowledge that, and I'm glad to hear the publications come up with something. But what we don't have, and I'm not putting this on publications, is a criteria for determining who should get one of these or who shouldn't get it. What's the criteria? I would like to move that the president establish a committee that will look into creating criteria for the issuance of such a document. I'm requesting that the president establish a committee to write up criteria that would be brought to the board for approval on who should get the certificates or who shouldn't get. This was something Resolutions Committee really struggled with because the way it was presented, it was like anyone could get it, and it was just something that was just impossible for us to generate such certificates to everyone that assisted you, for example, that was given to us helping you cross the street or something like that. And I'm not making it as frivolous at all, but I'm pleased Publications has taken the lead on implementing this resolution, but I think we need the criteria so to know that the certificate, who is it to go to, and what's the criteria for receiving it. So I'm asking for a second for that.
Second. I'm sorry. Can
okay.
I offer?
Any discussion?
Just a question for, I guess, Gene or you, Donna. Would this be a committee or would it be more of a task force or ad hoc committee?
Ad hoc committee.
Okay. I apologize. Thank you, Gabe. Ad hoc.
Okay. Do we have any more? Jeff.
Very quickly. Gene, I hope this is a friendly amendment. The committee would also, or whatever it's called, also rec procedures for how the board will implement it. So not only criteria, but procedures.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Gene sounded very friendly, so he said it's friendly.
And a seconder agrees?
Does the seconder agree?
Sure.
Okay, Artis agrees. She's friendly, too. Good. All righty. Any more discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Now, the Publications Committee also included in your board packet a draft certificate based on that resolution. What is the will of the board? Do you want to wait until the committee has been established and the criteria has been developed, and then we go over and review this draft language? What is the will of the board?
Madam Chair?
I think that has to happen. Yes.
Well, I think that we need to read that.
Several board members are saying something at the same time, and no one has a mic. So what?
Madam President? I don't think that we can discuss this draft until the ad hoc committee has done their work, since a lot of what the ad hoc committee is being tasked with doing is, I think, figuring out the criteria, which I think would be directly related to this. So I don't see a lot of point in
Perfect.
Discussing this document until the ad hoc committee has done their work.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Bernice?
I disagree. I think you do need to read the text at least.
Oh, hold on 1 second. Okay, Gene, you called for the floor as well.
I think right now, due courteous to the committee, I think, and to the membership who are present, I think we should at least hear and have it read out loud so everyone is aware of it. I think then, I don't think action should take place until the procedures and criteria established, but I think the work the committee's done should be heard by everyone there, and that might be also an opportunity to give some input on it.
And Gabe has graciously offered to read this language for us. And it is draft certificate based on resolution 2008. See, I'm giving him time to find it. Based on resolution 2008A6. And he said, oh, I found it.
I found it when Jeff pointed out where the resolution was, and I read along with it.
Gabe, it's all yours. Please read the language.
See, sometimes I do prepare ahead.
Oh. Go ahead.
Okay. This certificate of appreciation acknowledges, and excuse my braille reading here, sorry, acknowledges, parentheses, so-and-so, close parentheses, for your services and assistance to, parentheses, the California Council of the Blind or such and such chapter of the California Council of the Blind or such and such affiliate of the California Council of the Blind, close parentheses. Please accept our recognition for your good works and kind acts on our behalf. We express our gratitude for parentheses, whatever, close parentheses, presented on parentheses date, close parentheses.
Thank you. All right. So we have this language that will also assist in forming when we do the committee. And we will move on to the next item. I believe there were three action items, correct? Bernice, did I miss one?
That was the third.
And I just heard a off in the distance, so it's Peter. Peter, it's all yours.
I have a question for the publications committee. Do you know when, I know in the past they've talked about providing web pages for chapters and affiliates.
Yes.
You know when that'll be implemented?
I think we were holding off on that until the content management software is in place.
So
that's coming soon.
Yes.
Do you have any
I was just gonna say, in fact, that will be happening this year. They have it on the ACB server already. Things are being loaded into a test site. Our folks are already looking at training materials and such so that we can get it implemented. So, barring no, I don't know, personal life issues, I'm hoping that our folks would be able to start doing that with the new content management software this year. And I'm hoping that it would be sometime this summer, if not soon thereafter. But ACB does have it. It's been tested. There are no compatibility issues. They've been working with it. It works fine on the servers. We are in the process of getting it put onto our environment as well, so it is moving. It's just that our folks, again, who are volunteer, have had some serious personal family issues. It seems like it's been the year for some pretty serious things happening to folks or surrounding folks. Obviously, if we were, and I'll just be blunt, if we were able to pay a webmaster, then we would have someone around the clock doing all these things. But I think our team is an awesome team, and they're doing great work. They're volunteering for us. They're going to hopefully be allowed to move the web environment into a totally new direction, being able to download applications and being able to, you know, just the things that they want to do. Make me very excited. But again, life has happened, and folks have had tragedies they had to deal with. So,
Madam Chair.
Roger, then Gene.
I just wanted to say that by way of explanation again, if you, for those who are not aware, what a content management system is a system that allows other folks besides the web designers to put stuff on the web. So that would be required before you could start having the chapters and affiliates putting their own web pages up on our website. And so that's what's going on. We're trying to get into a system whereby folks can be, without being web geniuses and without having all the passwords and codes and everything, can put content into the website.
And we have that, and we'll be getting it put on ours, and the gentlemen will be able to implement it there. As I stated, they're already going through the training materials. The content management software was chosen actually last year folks got a detailed report on where things were going to be going. They are moving now. That is a good thing. As I said, life happens, and our team has been doing some great things, and I look forward to more of that in the future. Gene, you had asked for the floor, correct?
Yeah, I have some questions. I don't know whether Bernice is the person that can answer this, but I'd like to find out about, since we're talking about the website, when are we going to get a search capability on the website? And then the other thing is what we used to have, the capability, which we don't have now, which troubles me, is used to be able to download a document on it. And now you can't download. I've wanted to do that. I have sent some people to website who have new people who thought there was something interesting there, and they wanted to download, and they can't do it. And they said, it just turned them off there. And I was just wondering, I can understand protecting documents, which accessible PDF is one step there, and then having alternatives. But the fact that you now can't download something, or it's disturbing.
I think the question I have really quick is what used to be downloaded, be able to be downloaded, that can't be downloaded now?
I download things.
The whole thing should be downloadable.
Well, but I don't know that we ever had. Oh, Gabe. Yes.
Actually, Gene, are you talking about not being able to download like the convention recordings and such like that?
Programs or anything on the website. It's you're not able. There's nothing there right now that you can download.
And the reason I asked my question is I wanted to make a comment on that is that something like the links to be able to download the convention recordings that we post up there, most. I think the term we want to also talk about is not making it be able to download, but make it easier to download, because in many of those cases, I've found that if you just hit enter on the link, like many other websites you go to, it would bring up a save dialog asking where you want to save. What you have to do on the links on our site is you have to use your applications key, which would be like right-clicking your mouse, and choose the save target as option, which, while it's still very accessible and you know, some of us have done that and do that on a daily basis. It's not something that everybody does, and it's not something that is widely used. Not intuitive. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you.
Perhaps we need instructions.
So I think what we need to do is to somehow figure out what we can do to make those links more intuitive so that when you do enter on them, instead of taking to a page saying, you know, error or whatever, it actually brings up that download dialog.
Okay, Madam President?
Bernice.
These discussions are always fascinating to me because it always tells me how many people are not reading their publication. But there was an article, I think, Judy, wasn't it in this last Blind Californian?
Right, but what
on how to do that.
What directors are saying up here is that they would also like those instructions in a place on the website that's okay. Also easy to access on the, like on the top of
okay.
The actual page of where
that.
Things
yeah,
need
Chris.
To be done. Who's?
Dan.
Okay, Gene and then Dan.
Dan, all I'm saying is, yes, it's fine for the membership, the organization, but the website is not only for the membership. It's for anyone else out there who's visiting, looking for someone who's maybe in the who's losing their vision, doesn't know anything about the organizations, comes and finds our website and says, here's something really interesting I want to download for whatever reason they might have, and they don't know how to do so. And this is one way of recruiting members. And if you got an obstacle in the way, you're going to lose potential members. Or Gene, just supporters of the group.
Gene, the committee can tell you that I'm the one that harps on that very issue all the time because we tend to be too insular on these things, and we do need to keep in mind of the newly visually impaired person, the person that's not very efficient on the computer, to be able to access our information. So yes, and that is something, you know, I will make sure that they put those instructions that were in the BC up on the web.
What I'm going to do at this point is, because I already recognize Dan, so I will give Dan the floor. But what I would want folks to do, and again, keep in mind that the committee is a volunteer committee and they're getting back on track and they will be having that content management system, in place this year. So, things will definitely be changing. But what I want everyone to do, because this board has a lot to say about the web environment, is I want you, because we're not going to be here all night, I want you to email and, you know, email myself or Bernice, or email the webmaster box and let folks know what you'd like to see, because the website, again, is something that belongs to everyone. And, you know, everybody has a lot to say right now, and that's fine, and it needs to be said. But I want some action behind what everyone's saying right now, and I'd like some emails to go to the team so that they could see what you're looking for, what you'd want. Also, keep in mind that in a previous report, several reports back, it was stated that more was going to be done once the content management system is online. And it wasn't to date. So remember that fact as well. The web team has told me that they want to do downloadable applications, mm-hmm. downloadable brochures. They want to do some of those different things. And that is absolutely coming. They're already testing a couple of things here and there. PDFs are usable. People love PDFs if they're accessible and if they're done properly. So we will be having Word documents and PDFs and downloadable things, as Jean was stating. So I want emails from you guys being very specific and telling us what you want. But keep in mind that not as much is going to be done with the environment that we have at this point, but the content management system, when it comes up, and as I said, I'm hoping for the summer, but it depends on our volunteer team. Things will be changing, and there will be a member section, and board members, look back to your old reports that gives the details of the different portions of the website that was going to be, you know, coming forward. Dan.
Yeah, first, I would like to really congratulate, and I think that's a really exciting thing with this management system that we're going to, because I use a similar, site, and I'm able to upload my podcasts. I'm able to, you know, make changes on my webpage on a weekly basis, and I'm on there every week updating and actually controlling how that page looks without using external software. So it's really a great thing. As far as the CCB webpage goes, the bugaboo is if you want to download files in a seamless fashion, it either has to be an executable file that's zipped or in some other kind of compression format, or it's going to execute like a MP3 file will just play. So I think you have some dilemmas, because if you're going to want seamless download, then you're going to have to learn how to decompress like a zip file. And you're going to probably get more people complaining about, well, I got this zip file and I don't know what to do with it. So there is a dilemma that the committee will have to face. And, you know, we're going to have to deal with that dilemma and try to reconcile it, unless you know the save as target command, which will get you around it every time. So.
Good point.
That's my comment, and I'm sticking to it.
And I appreciate that. And so that is why I want board members to be very specific, poke around on the website, let us know what you want to see. It belongs to all of us, and I want to see some email. So let us know. Okay, I would like to go to the next item, which is the convention bid process report.
Somebody want a microphone?
And that is going to be given by Jean Lozano, our convention committee chair. Jean, it's all yours.
Okay, just to let everyone know, we are not bringing forth any recommendations this evening. I just want to give a status report. We've gone through a transition, or still are going through a transition. We are working still with Conference Direct. As far as many of us are concerned, Conference Direct has proven themselves. And we learned from the process we went through last time on things we needed to refine in the RFPs going out. And we found out that we decided to do was a two-part or two-phase RFP process. And one was kind of, Conference Direct really does understand the areas that are really important to us in screening out where they're going to send the RFP. And the first one, which is sort of normally like a shotgun. And narrowed it down, you know, looking at the financial aspects, room rate, transportation access, and most importantly, well, all those are important, but the physical layout of the place, that it's like under one roof where you're not having to negotiate through parking lots from buildings. So that is something we restructured our RFP, and we have completed phase one, and we're working with 2013. This is the year we're working right now in, and this is I'm going to go over some of the details that the board has already gotten. So I apologize to the board for you hearing things, but I want the membership to hear this information too, even though it's going to be general. But for the spring, we have sent out 28 RFPs, and this is in Northern California, and they were sent out in general areas like San Jose, Santa Clara, Burlingame, Palo Alto, Modesto, Sacramento, Oakland, Walnut Creek, and there's some other places, but generally that's to give you an idea that the area's looking at. And of all those we sent out, we did hear from them all. Some turned down us, saying we didn't, they could not offer what we were asking, and then some have submitted bids. Of those right now, that there's approximately six that look very promising, and we're going to go into second phase, and that is asking them more specific information. And but just to give you an idea of these six, we've gotten room rate estimates of $93 upwards to $110, all inclusive. And then one gave us $123, which we're hoping in phase two, to try to bring down those prices. Conference Direct has been really effective in doing that. Now, for fall 2013, for Southern California, there's 50 RFPs that have gone out through the phase one, and we got 47 responses, which was turning us down or giving us bids. Some of the areas that was sent out to were Los Angeles, San Diego, all Orange County, Bakersfield, even we reached out to Bakersfield. And it's been some other communities, but that's just giving you an idea of what we're looking at. There, at this time, there are 9 bids that we're really interested in pursuing for phase 2. And the room rates they were talking about, again, the range was $99 to... Yeah, $109 range. And just, I guess, last comment to show, one of them that we've gotten is that that had submitted a bid was $119 the last time, and with rates going up, have given us a bid for $109, and that's, again, because of Conference Direct working on them to bring down their prices. And everywhere we're finding, independent of Conference Direct, we are hearing that the hotels are right now starting to push up their rates and trying to recoup what they've been losing the last few years. Things are starting to look better. So to have these sound like very small numbers, you know, 6 or 9, but that really is pretty good considering these are in excellent places for transportation. So now, so what's going to happen is we're going to be looking at these. Donna, as president, and the office, particularly Ed Branch, myself, would look at these. Do some more site visits, and then bring some recommendations to the convention committee. And then we're doing this totally different from we've ever done before, and it's just because we're behind. Don and I have been talking about possibly, and this is not finalized, and but figuring a way of having a board meeting, a conference board meeting that would have sufficient lines for the membership to call in and give participate in terms like we've done here at meetings where we've given recommendations to the board and the membership could then comment on those recommendations before the board then goes into deliberations. We're still working that out. We don't really want to wait until the fall convention to bring recommendations. We want to jump on this and possibly even have some things for 2014. So that's my report for now. Thank you.
Okay, board members, any questions?
So, Gene, in the phase 2 part, are these bids, are they pretty static, or are they going to stay this way? Can they change?
Well, you've got prices here, so can
These are price ranges. Yes, these could very likely these bids may no longer by October may not be valid. They may be jacked up. So I don't know how much time we're going to have.
Yeah, I was going to say if we're going to do this, we better get going.
Well, but we at the same time, I agree with you, David. But at the same time, we're going to be reviewing these, and then we're going to narrow them down and do some more negotiating with them to try to get better rates and things from those that look very promising, and then do site visits. We're going to follow the same process. We're not going to just charge through this thing. We're going to do it so that we're certain that we're recommending to the board some hotel sites that really will be affordable and actually address as many as possible the membership's needs for transportation and other aspects. So that's the reason we're talking about not waiting to the fall convention, but at the same time, we're trying to make certain that everything is looked at and we got the best deals.
So October, though, is kind of the last that we can really do anything. So we have to kind of think about maybe moving this. I understand what you're getting at, and I know that we don't want to push
but at the same time, we want to be able to get the best price we possibly can get.
David, what I'm saying is we're actually saying both the same thing.
Yeah,
We're not talking about October.
That.
We're talking about possibly some, maybe the latest July.
Okay.
I'm not talking about October.
Yeah.
And you know, I just pulled out the month of July. We're not talking far off.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. No sweat. Thank you.
Okay. See, we're still friendly. Any other questions? Okay. So what I would say is I would hopefully I will have a specific time and date for when we would have the call that members could call into to listen in. I'm hoping that I can have that by the June 1st BC deadline so we can put it in the BC, so we can put it on the listservs, so we can put it on the connection, so that everyone would know about it if you could listen in. But yes, as Jean said, we want to do this hopefully in July to choose sites for the times that Jean mentioned. Any other questions from board members? Okay. Thank you very much. My computer is about to die here. The next item on the agenda is approval of donor privacy policy. And basically, this was something that the board, discussed via email. We needed to do this again as we were preparing for the strut so that we could have a donor privacy policy on our website. That would also, again, help to improve our rating on Charity Navigator. Since we're going to be driving people to out in the general public to register and such online who know nothing about us, one of the first things that, and we've already been getting the question, is we don't see your donor privacy policy. Where's your donor privacy policy? So we had this discussion via email, and there were several policies that board members looked at, and board members did approve a policy that was a bit more brief. And I'd like to ratify this vote in person to approve this donor privacy policy. And if board members need a refresher, if they need it read, please say so, or if someone can put a motion forth to approve the policy. Okay, who was that?
Dan
moves to approve. Artist seconds. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion passes. The next item on the agenda is actually an item that was added, and that was brought forward by Artis Basin, and it was to have discussion on the time, the convention board meeting time. And so if I can go ahead and give Artis a microphone, since she brought this item to the agenda.
Yeah, I'll just bring it up in motion form, and that way you can
Perfect.
Discuss it. I'd like to make a motion that at the next convention, we the pre-convention board meeting at 6:30 p.m. And as a way of explaining, I think I know those of us who go on the legislative seminar, it's really hard to get back in time. And also it keeps people from being able to attend, like, the technology events and so forth in the afternoon. And also people from going to the welcome party and helping that affiliate make some money. So.
Do we have a second? We have a second. Who was that second?
Dan and Jeff.
Dan and Jeff seconded. All right, several. Do we have any discussion on this item? Okay, I hear Peter, and then I will give it to Dan. Peter.
Yeah, Artis, I don't have a problem with your motion, except I'd like a time where the board will meet no later than. I don't want to go until midnight. I mean, I don't want to run 6:30 to midnight, but I want a time limit, an upper time limit? Is that a friendly amendment?
You can make a motion, but it doesn't sound friendly.
I mean, I don't mind.
I think that, if I might, I think that it's up to the board how long a board meeting ends up taking, the way that business is conducted. We had a ginormous amount of items on the agenda, and, you know, I think we did very well this meeting. I think that, and help me out, guys, if Peter is to make this motion, do we need to first do this motion? Because Artis is saying it's not friendly, and Jeff said it wasn't friendly either. I was hearing...
Well, then he has to put it forward as an amendment to the motion, and the amendment has to be voted on, and then the main motion.
I'm not going to support the motion, then.
That's fine. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. You heard Artis's explanation. And Dan, please.
You know, I know we had a lot of stuff on the agenda, but I'm sorry. I was on a board that had a $22 million budget every year, and we got our board meetings done in 2 hours. I don't expect CCB, because we're different. We're consumer organizations, and we're probably more full disclosure than the organization I used to belong to, you know, as far as the board. However, in saying that, I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't the mafia, no. I just don't see why it's necessary to have an afternoon board meeting and an evening board meeting. I think that this will behoove us to be more on target and more into our agenda items and go quicker. And also, it impedes volunteers like me who are trying to do projects today. I haven't even had a chance. I barely had a chance to go to my room. I barely had a chance to eat dinner, take my dog out, and come over here in time tonight. So I just think it's really inconvenient. But I'll do it for the organization if I have to, but still.
Okay. And Jeff has asked for the floor. And then actually, you asked me for the floor. Yes, you did. And then Jerry.
Okay.
Foster. Yeah. Okay.
I was originally one of those who, although I wasn't the originator, but I supported the afternoon meeting. And I've struggled with this, but I think I like Artis's motion because for a couple reasons. The primary one being that I think we've now dealt with part of the problem that created the need for the afternoon meeting. We're conducting our business more quickly. We are... Not using certain measures which seem to take, you know, endless periods of time. We're getting things done in an expeditious manner. So therefore, if we start a half hour earlier, if we continue to work quickly and yet with enough diligence so that we don't, you know, shortcut anything as we have today, I think that 6:30 is a good compromise that we can get done by, you know, 10 or 10:30. It won't always be perfect, but I think that it's the best compromise given the problems that an afternoon meeting creates.
Okay, we can have Foster, please.
Okay. My only thing was on the question of, which Jeff kind of spoke on it, is yes, we are going through the agenda faster. Would it still have to take 4 hours, or would it, you know, since we are going faster, what would be a good cutoff time that's reasonable for us to accomplish the things on the agenda?
Okay, and actually, that was kind of an unfriendly amendment that was proposed before, and folks were saying not to give a cutoff time because of the business that's needs to take place. So, and actually, Gabe asked for the floor, and then Jerry asked for the floor, and then Jean, and then Linda. Who can remember my name orders here? Okay, let me give it to Gabe.
Madam President, kind of speaking to that concern of what Foster was just bringing up and what you were just saying, if the meeting is going, and Peter's comment, if the meeting is going late, we don't need a specific cutoff time, but we can make a motion, correct me anybody if I'm wrong, to take up remaining items at a conference call the following week. You know, if it's getting to be 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and we've been going for four hours or so, and people are getting tired and not being able to think about stuff, we can make a motion to carry on, you know, close the meeting and carry on the rest of the agenda the following week. So I don't think we need a hard cutoff time, because we do have a mechanism to be able to deal with that.
Okay, Jerry? I think that was next, right? Jerry.
Okay, Madam President, I'm in total agreement with Dan. I've been on a number of consumer boards as well, where the business does get done faster. No, I understand our love and our need for disclosure and fleshing out things thoroughly. Number one, I really with regard to the 3 o'clock meeting, I mean, you yourself said, and I've seen this before since we've started this, we don't get a whole lot of membership here at the 3 o'clock hour. And that was the original idea, was to try to promote some more accessibility for folks who who couldn't tough it out or couldn't stay through the whole, for whatever reason, medical or otherwise, couldn't stay for the evening meeting. But I don't think the 3 o'clock, with all due respect, I don't think the 3 o'clock has accomplished what it has, what was originally intended. Secondly, you know, I don't support the idea of having a 6:30 meeting. I think, we have meetings that happen at, in the afternoon. They end often at 5 o'clock. That puts a lot of folks at tremendous, stress to get their business done, to relieve dogs, to get into the dinner. And we're really at the mercy of the hotel service for dinners. So I think you'll see a lot of folks who either will forego dinners or will not be able to make it on time. I just think, if we start at 7 o'clock, I just think it really, we have to just redouble our efforts to be concise, to not repeat what others have said, to make our points cogently and move on.
I am in support of this motion. Just like I was in the past, it also, in agreement with some of the things people have said, where we're competing with the Welcome to Sacramento party, which I believe had a bigger turnout than the board meeting. I can't imagine why. Booze, food, a lot going for it right there. The thing is, we can all come up with different stories, and I mean, I can come up with my sob story about, sometimes you have to work and then leave to come to the convention, and otherwise you end up having to take a lot of vacation time, which that's what I do. To come to the things, it's not work time, it's actually vacation time. You know, the thing is, and I don't say this with disrespect to any of my fellow board persons, but, just as a board member, there's the responsibility, a lot of responsibility, each of you know, and of ultimately of this organization, how it operates. And yes, there's always can be improvement, make things go smoothly. At the same time, I've been on committees that have been more concerned about fitting everything within a certain period of time. Don't get into the issue that comes up because they're fearful. Oh, we're going to run out of time. Let's quickly go through the thing. And then we've been haunted with the consequences later on. And as a board member, I feel is I give up some of the pleasures of being a conventioner, coming here, where I can't do the socializing, I can't do some of the things there. Just like being a member of the resolutions committee, you give up basically attending the convention. You're there until 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Sure don't see a board meeting go anywhere like that. We've had them, and I don't like to repeat them, but I think we need to take care of our business, and too, with our economics right now, even though we're able, most of us are able to pay long distance rates, but you know, there might be some that it can't afford it. Board members come on here. The fewer conference calls, I think, the better it is, and just unless there's real business, and let's take care of our business here, and also let our membership see what's going on. They read the minutes of what happens during our conference calls, but it's not quite the same as actually being there physically and hearing it and possibly provide input. So I'm in support of this without any cap on time.
Linda.
Okay. I'm going to do the math. If this meeting had started at 6:30, it would be 10 o'clock now, give or take. Supposedly 2 hours in the afternoon, supposedly 2 hours at night, but really a total of 3.5 hours. So I would say it would be 10 o'clock at this point, which isn't terrible. We have been particularly efficient, and I do agree with folks that some of the problems that generated this afternoon meeting solution have been, shall I say, cleared away. So I am in support of the 6:30 start time with a couple of provisos. One, that we just remain mindful, as people have said, about how we're progressing and that we do try to progress efficiently. And to elaborate on what Gabe put forward, it might be a good idea to organize the agenda in such a way that any items that might be put off till a board meeting later on, in case something thorny comes up earlier in the meeting, those items be put later on the agenda, and that we get to the really meat of the issue really early on and get through those items first, and then do what we can after that.
Thank you very much. Okay. Do we have any more discussion? Okay. All in favor of starting convention board meetings at 6:30 p.m., signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That's two. Abstentions? Motion carries. Very good. Thank you. Now, who were the, do you need to put the no's in the?
It's not a rule.
No.
It's not. Okay, thank you. The motion passed with two dissensions. Perfect. Okay. My computer has died now. I believe that the next item on the agenda is public comment. Does anyone have public comment?
Yes. Raise your hands, please.
Raise your hands, and Ed will come to you. Sheila, I believe that's Sheila, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Sheila was first.
I'm Sheila Gunn Cushman, and at the moment I'm not from a chapter.
Okay.
But I live in San Lorenzo and have a choice of three. Or more than that, actually. Let's see. The first thing is, I believe about a year ago I said that I'd be interested in helping with the website. And I haven't heard a peep. So I'm not very good at writing emails, remembering to write emails, so I will say it again, and maybe I can be a part of things in the future. Also, I think you're going to need beta testers for some of this stuff. Yeah, over here. Second, this hotel bidding thing. May I suggest that in addition to phone lines, there be some sort of e-conferencing abilities, and also that we might email our questions or concerns ahead of time if we can see things ahead of time, and that might shorten the queue of phone comments. Third, I completely missed the first board session, and I've been a proud attendee of every board meeting, of every convention board meeting that at which convention I was at. And I was very sorry to miss it, but my train and everything, it didn't work at all for me. And I missed the technology committee too, which I wished to have seen, but it just didn't happen. Anyway, those are my thoughts. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We had another person in the back. Aha.
Hello, this is Pam Metz, and I'm just, Donna, please, you didn't know my voice, that's sad. I'd like to say thank you for all of you for thanking my husband. He has been working hard at this, and there were with the mud strut, and there was times, and Donna knows this to be true, that I had to shove him to do it, because he kept saying, well, I can't do it, I can't do this, it's going to drive me crazy. I don't have the strength and ability to do this. And I kept encouraging him and telling him, yes, he does. He's one of the most patient men I know. And I'd like to thank all of you for thanking him, because he is working hard with Melissa and Jeff and all the committee members. And he has had committee members calling him, crying on his shoulder and everything. And he is, and he has Donna whispering in his ear. And she's doing sweet nothings. I'm going to tell Mitch. But and
it's
he,
friendly. It's friendly.
It's all friendly because I may not be in the room with him, but I'm listening. So I like to tell all of you, thank you. And keep just if you want to call him and tell him thank you, it's fine. I'll give you his cell phone number. Since he's always giving the home number out to everybody.
Okay. Did you hear that laugh?
So again, and when you said you were going to have the board meeting at 6:30, Kingston stood up and wanted to ask you why.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have any other put? No other hands. Before I adjourn the board meeting for today, I want to thank each and every one of you out here. This was my first board meeting presiding. I'm still alive. So I want to thank everybody for your support. I also am wondering if anyone has, because my computer died, the rooms where resolutions will be held and the resolutions will be held in the executive boardroom. The credentials committee meeting tomorrow will be held in the Sacramento room.
8 o'clock.
And those are Sacramento is across from exhibits. And the boardroom is in the Cal Expo wing.
Right near the elevators.
So it's right near the elevator and the staircase is what Gene is saying. Here in Cal Expo wing to go to the rooms. And we are in the Cal Expo wing. So, okay. Credentials, resolutions. And, oh, hospitality, oi, oi, hospitality is in 1105, and,
has everybody figured out that the first digit is the wing and the second digit is the floor?
Yes. Okay, well, now we know. Thank you, Roger. All right, do we have a motion to... So moved, Dan. Dan's moving. Who's seconding? Vince seconded. All in favor of adjourning the board meeting?
Aye.
All right. And I'm not calling for opposes or abstentions. Thank you very much.